you would, to Philippians. I just turned my mic on. I hope that comes on. Okay, there we go. I got the thumbs up. Philippians chapter 3. And all y'all beat me there because I'm not the fast one that turns in the Bible. I'm one of the slow ones. I was never good with Bible drills. Okay, I got it. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word and honor to God's Word. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read verse 8 and then we're going to jump down to verse 13 and 14. 8 and then 13 and 14. So the Bible says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Jumping down to verse 13 now. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for just another opportunity to be in your house, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for once again giving us safety to be here, safety to make it here. God, I pray and ask that you would use me, Lord. Please, Lord, just speak through me. I know you've given me this message. You just confirmed it, and I know that to be true. I just pray and ask, Lord, that maybe someone in this room, if just one, maybe myself, would even just be helped by it, Lord. And pray and ask, Lord, that you would just meet with us tonight. Help us to have a good night. In your son's name we ask and pray. Amen. Y'all may be seated. So, back in verse 8, we read, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things. Now, I know we've had in this room, we've had ups and downs, and we've had gains, and we've had losses, but I doubt any of us has had it like the Apostle Paul had it. He just said, I've had loss of all things. Some of us in this room, if we had loss of all things, we wouldn't have made it to church tonight because we would have to be walking. Some of us don't make it to church on time or to church at all because maybe we didn't feel good that day, but he lost it all. But he was still serving God. And he says, count those things but dung that I may win Christ. This morning I want to look at, this evening. I had a lot of coffee today. I told Brother Dyson that. So I still feel energized like it's this morning. It says that I may win Christ. And in verse 13, it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Basically means, I haven't arrived. I haven't made it yet. This one thing I do, though. And just like the scriptures, we have the Gospels at the beginning of the New Testament. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each one of those men follow Jesus around and give you a different story. But they were all there from different perspectives. And I heard this message preached from this passage just the other day. And the thing that popped out in my mind wasn't the same that the preacher was preaching about. But I couldn't get it out of my head that I may win Christ. He says, this one thing I do. I want to win Christ. It also says in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's that prize? That I win Christ. This one thing I do, I want to win Christ. If I do anything this year, that's it. I just want to win Christ. Now, I was looking up. I know it's the third Sunday already, so you've probably already heard a bunch of messages about New Year's resolutions before New Year's came, and then probably the first week you heard some kind of message about, you know, do something different for God this year or do something for God this year. But some statistics about resolutions, only 8% of people will keep the resolution they made prior to starting 2020 for the whole year. Only 8%. I've heard it also said that about almost 75% of people the second weekend give up on the resolutions they made. I don't understand that, though. It's like, yeah, you fall down, but you get back up. You have, that's only the second week, you have 50 more weeks to go. You're not even 50% through with your year. You can get back on course, but we're so quick to throw in the towel. This year, 2020, God just really impressed upon my heart, man, this one thing I do, and that's win Christ. If there's anything else that I fail at, I don't care what it is, but I want this thing to succeed. I want my resolution to be that, hey, this one thing I do, I'm going to win Christ. And Paul gives an excellent kind of outline of how we can do that here in verse 13 through 14. But I was thinking about winning. People that win. People that are trying to win, like whether it be athletes or whether it be you're trying to win the hand of a mate or something like that. Alexis, he got engaged not too long ago, so I'm going to call him out. I told him I would use him as an illustration since he walked through the door. So he's fair game. But things you do to win. As an athlete, I put down you train. You practice. Maybe you cut some things out that would hinder that goal that you're trying to attain. You hire somebody maybe that could help coach you to get to what you're going after. Right? Maybe if it was you're trying to win a mate or trying to win, well, don't ask me about winning my wife. I did it all wrong and I don't do it right. So, but somebody who was doing it right, one thing that they do is to win that person, they give them their time. They give them their full attention. Maybe gifts. They change some things. But what about winning Christ? I mean, that's way better prize than some trophy for running a race. Way better prize than some award. Paul gives us three things. Three things. That if we're going to do that one thing, this one thing I do, win Christ, it's going to take three things. And the first one, reading in verse 13, count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He said, I forget. Forgetting those things which are behind. I forget. You know what? God doesn't remember our past failures. God doesn't remember our sins. They're under the blood. The moment we got saved, all that was erased. Doesn't matter. God's not going to pull them up next time you sin. Why should you? You know who does? The accuser of the brethren. Every time. Every time I start doing something good for God, and maybe I even have a couple weeks down where, hey, he's helping me along, and he's my strength, and I'm actually doing it. And then I slip up one time. You know who comes at me? The devil. It's like, oh, what are you even trying for? That's why those people give up on the second week. The devil gets a hold of them and says, you can't even do it. 1 week, 2 weeks, so don't even try the rest of the year. Yeah, if we're trying to do it in our own strength, you're right, we can't. But Paul says, this one thing I do, hey, I forget. Maybe tonight there's some self-doubt you need to forget about. Maybe you're like Moses. I can't believe, first of all, God used Moses, right? But then I can't believe Moses had the audacity to talk to God and say, hey, look, I can't talk. And God was about to smite him. God was like getting frustrated that Moses was saying, I can't do this. He's like, do you realize who you're talking to? I'm the one that gives you the strength to do this in the first place. I've already chosen you. It doesn't matter your ability. I can make this happen through you. Maybe you need to forget your self-doubt. Maybe your insecurities. Well, I'll never be good enough. I'll never be able to help that person. You know, I'll be honest, I don't preach a whole lot. And when I do, it ain't to older kids. It's to junior church. And these guys right here would know. Because that's who I teach to every Sunday. And we have a blast, but it's different. Because you can say one thing from the Word of God and just be like, okay, that means obey your mommy and daddies. It's like, you guys are the mommy and daddy, so that's a little different. But Paul said, I forget. If there's one thing I'm going to do, it's going to be win Christ. But I have to forget. Maybe it's depression. And that's real. And on the table, you have a speaker coming next week, or is it a couple weeks from now, for PTSD in February. That's right around the corner. PTSD, and maybe that's something you need to forget. God's going to give you the strength to get over it. Maybe it's your finances. Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. We need to forget our fears. How about our anxiety? Maybe you struggle, like I said, with your finances. Turn with me to Philippians 4:19. It's just one page over. It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, does that sound like we have a reason to even fear? That sounds like we should definitely be forgetting about that. Because God's already taking care of it. I talked this morning about the lily in the valley and how God clothed it there. And the sparrows. Aren't you not better than those? God knows the number of your hairs on your head. There's some things that we need to forget. Past failures. Proverbs 24:16 says, for a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Bible says also in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, what are those two verses? Hey, it's proof that God knows we're going to fail. He expects it. But he expects to use us as well, despite our failures, in spite of our failures. We're always going to come short. Maybe we need to forget about fleshly desires that held us back last year. False gods, and I know this is a big one, like sports, and right now that's not a big deal because Seahawks lost and nobody cares anymore. So, but if it was Seahawks playing this Sunday, it might be a little more scarce in here. We had a missionary at our previous church, and he was talking about how he's like, brother, you got to come to church tonight. You got to come to church. And he's like, well, brother, I can't. And this is an Indian guy, so he has a really thick Indian accent. And he's like, I can't come to church. Tucker's on. And he's like, I don't know who Tucker is. You know, he's from India. And he's like, Tucker, some people, that's their idol. That's their false god. You know, when somebody that's on TV is above going to church that evening or fill in the blank, that's a false god. You're putting that in the place of God. Paul says, I forget. Maybe feuds. Maybe last year you had some feuds. Maybe there was some falling out. You know what? Just get that thing right with the person that you had it with and move on. Life's too short. Like I said this morning, we have an expiration date. And nobody knows when theirs is. Could be today, could be tomorrow. No reason to hold on to feuds. Paul says also, when you go into the house, kick the dust off your feet. Don't take with you what happened at the last house. Maybe that person didn't accept Christ, but don't take that feud with you. Just move on. Friends, maybe we need to forget some friends. Maybe there's some friends that we don't associate with here at church, but we associate at work. And we know we shouldn't be hanging out with them because they start talking about things Christians ain't supposed to be talking about. Or they start talking about things and we're not going to say anything against it, but we're not going to leave either. Because what if we do? Oh, well, then they won't hang around me anymore. What, for the cause of Christ? Is that so much to win Christ? Every little thing. Paul says, I forget. That's one of the things that he does. This one thing I do that I may win Christ, I forget. Secondly, if you read on in verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. First of all, Paul says, hey, I forget. Secondly, he says, I reach. I reach. And I don't know if you've ever seen maybe a sprinter or a runner. Towards the end of the race, what do? They always try and stick something out so that when they cross the line, they're the first one, right? They always, yeah, somebody already pointed their chest. I was thinking, because I have a toddler at home, I was thinking about the movie Cars. And so, Lightning McQueen, if you've seen the movie Cars, the very last scene in the first part of the movie is he's coming across the line and he sticks out his tongue. And it's a three-way tie, right? I reach. Maybe last year was a hard year and you just gave up and you didn't reach. To reach means to grasp or to draw toward. Maybe you didn't reach that goal last year. Hey, we already talked about it. Paul said, forget about that. I forget. You know what he does this year? Hey, I reach. Even though I didn't make it last year, even though I didn't grasp what I was going for last year, I'm going to reach for it again this year. I want to win Christ. He just said he's lost all things. If there's anybody who has really gone through it, it's Paul. And yet he's going to forget all about it and still reach. What are you reaching for this year? What's in your reach? Are you reaching for worldly things or is Christ one of those things you're reaching for, that prize? Hebrews 12, let's turn there real quick. I wrote this down for this point, but it really goes with all 3 points. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. It means forget. They leave it behind. And the sin with which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Maybe you can't reach because you haven't done that first step. You haven't forgotten the baggage of last year, the baggage of your past mistakes. The Bible said we should lay aside all those weights. And it's not talking about sin because also it says this right here. It says, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Once again, God knows who he's talking to. He knows he's talking to sinners. He knows he's talking to imperfect people because it says, easily beset us. Easily. Not, he doesn't think that we're ever going to sin once we get saved. He knows that that's something that's going to easily beset us. Always going to be popping back up. We got to forget, but still reach for that goal. Still reach for Christ. Paul said, if I'm going to win Christ, this one thing I do, I'm going to forget, I'm going to reach, and lastly, I'm going to press. To press insinuates that there's going to be some resistance. That's what pressing is. Like if you were to lift weights, the weights stress your body's muscles and stimulate them to grow stronger and bigger so that they can better handle the same stress next time. Maybe the trials and struggles that you were going through last year, obviously nobody's going to wish for a trial. Nobody's going to wish for a struggle. But God was just using that to press you so that he can strengthen you. So he knows that maybe there's something down the line that you're going to need a little more strength for. And the trial that you went through last time, maybe it wasn't as big as what might be around the corner. You know what? God knows it's coming around the corner, and there's nothing that can touch you that hasn't gone through his hands first. He ain't going to push you beyond what you can be tested, beyond what you can be pressed. I forget, I reach, I press. Maybe you need to press on just something simple as reading your Bible. Just read it once a day. Not even a lot. Maybe just 10 minutes, 5 minutes. If that's better than last year, hey, you're making progress. You're pressing. And then next year after that, you know, once you've built up some strength, you've pressed for a while. Because our sin flesh and our nature, they don't like that. I don't know about you, but I don't like waking up early. That's usually what it takes. But reading our Bibles, how about praying? Like the theme this year. Once you start praying, yeah, it might get tiresome at first. But then once you really get into it, and you see that closeness that develops once you start talking to God, there is nothing sweeter. Like the song we sang this morning, once you notice or get that kind of relationship with God, ain't nothing compares. Nothing compares. Maybe pray. Maybe that's the thing that you need to press this year. Maybe soul winning. How many souls did you see saved last year? This world's still going to hell. And we're inching closer and closer day by day to the Lord's return. I don't know about you, but I could see it right around the corner. Like we were talking about this morning, the signs are there. That's why we so desperately need a revival like we were speaking about this morning. Man, I would love to see that. Souls getting saved, lives changed. It'd be amazing. We so desperately need it, especially this city. Every time I look at the news and it talks about the homeless crisis we have going on and all of that kind of stuff, it brings me back to in college when our pastor said, talking about how in the last days people will be given over to witchcraft. And he brought that word down to its original meaning, which was pharmakia. And that literally, if you study it out, pharmakia is drugs. And today more than ever, if you can just look out your window just this morning, several people passing by, you could tell they were on something. And it's a problem. You can't reason with somebody that's on drugs. You can't speak to them. God can. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take only God coming down and seeing a revival. But like we said this morning, it's going to have to start individually first. We've got to put our name down there. Maybe God's pressing you to love your enemies. You know how easy it is to love our loved ones. Unless we have an ought against them, and then it's kind of hard. But our enemies? You mean the people that are out to hurt me, Lord? You really want me to try and love them? Yeah. He's talking about, man, I can't remember where it's at. I mean, he said, if you give a brother a drink of cold water, he's already brother in Christ. To do it to somebody that's not saved, that's an enemy, that's the true test of do you love me or not. Paul's saying this evening, one thing I do, I want to win Christ. That's the prize I'm going after. That's the prize I want. One thing, to win Christ. If we're going to do that, we have to do those three things, though. We got to forget. We got to reach and we got to press. But can I say this tonight, though? if we're going to be like Paul and say in verse 13, this one thing I do, we definitely have to do the last two words of that saying, I do. If anything's going to happen, it's going to take action. If we're going to set out to win Christ this year, we have to put some action to it. To say you're going to do something and not do it won't put feet to it. It's just a dream at that point. It's just a dream. Until you realize God is all you need, you'll always keep looking for what you think you need. I don't know about you tonight, but I just want to win Christ. I just want that one thing I do to be trying to win Christ. He is the prize that is sweeter than any other prize. But it's going to take those three things: forgetting, reaching, and pressing. Let's bow our heads and we'll pray. Before we pray, though, one of the songs we sing tonight is When We All Get to Heaven. And on the last verse, it says, onward to the prize before us. Soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. Onward to the prize before us. What prize are you going after tonight? Is it the prize of winning Christ? Or are you seeking for other prizes? Worldly prizes. Things that are only going to suffice the flesh for so long. Tonight, maybe you'll say, Lord, this one thing I do, I'm going to just try and win Christ. As the piano plays. Maybe you say tonight, Brother Nathan, I want to win Christ. I want him to be that prize, but I haven't even made him my Savior yet. I haven't even put my name down like the message this morning was. For salvation, where it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I haven't put my name in that whosoever slot. Maybe tonight's the night you do that. That's the first thing. If you're going to do one thing this year and you haven't done that yet, that is the one thing that tops all things to be doing, is knowing him as your personal Savior. I don't want you to end up like Revelation 20:15. Whosoever was not written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I don't want you to be in that whosoever. Don't put your name down there. This year, this one thing I do, I forget, I reach, and I press. Maybe you need to forget. Maybe you need to reach or press that we may win Christ. Dear God, thank you for this evening. Thank you for, Lord, the message that you've given me. Pray and ask, God, that it would have been a help. I know, Lord, that it has spoken to me about, Lord, just seeking you as that prize. And that nothing else matters, Lord, but me trying to win you. And help us to go forth from this place and have a safe night. And just keep this message in mind. In your son's name we ask and pray. Amen.
Amen.